Congressman Barra, thank you so much for speaking with Voice of America.
Glad to be on. Thank you.
You were part of a high-level congressional delegation to South Korea led by House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Royce. How was the visit? I know that you visited South Korean President Moon Jae-in. How was the discussion? I'm sure the North Korean nuclear crisis would be the topic of discussion.
Absolutely. Led by Chairman Royce, you know, and as the vice-ranking member on the Foreign Affairs Committee, we felt it was very important to visit South Korea at this particular time. One, to reassure the president and South Korean people that there's no distance in our friendship and the alliance between the United States and South Korea. Certainly, members of Congress take the tensions on the peninsula very seriously right now. But we wanted to make sure that President Moon, as well as members of their legislature, understand that our commitment to South Korea is the same as it always has been.
What were you hearing from the South Korean officials regarding the North Korean crisis? What would they want U.S. to do to solve this crisis?
First, I think the South Korean people, as well as the administration in South Korea, take this crisis very seriously, and I think the mood is different than maybe even a year ago when I was last in South Korea. Two, they recognize they're on the front line. They want to make sure that, as in previous administrations, that the South Koreans are part of the conversation as we're developing strategy and thinking about how to move forward. Three, they also, and this is a message that President Trump has delivered to North Korea, an attack on South Korea, an attack on Japan, threats to our U.S. territories or to the U.S. homeland are going to be taken very seriously. And we consider attack on South Korea as an attack on the United States.
Mm-hmm. What is your thought on military options against North Korea, and do you think a red line needs to be drawn?
There's no great military options, and that's not our first choice. And the North Koreans should understand that if in a direct military confrontation with the United States, it would be devastating to North Korea. The North Koreans also have to understand that any direct threat to U.S. territory, the U.S. homeland, South Korea, Japan, any of our allies in the region would also be met very swiftly. But the goal here, that's not the first option. We ought to come to the table. I'm not in the business of drawing red lines, but the North Koreans should understand any direct military threat to the United States, to our territories, to our allies in South Korea, Japan, would be met pretty swiftly.
What is your thought on the new UN Security Council sanctions imposed on North Korea that is just passed unanimously?
I think we wish they would have been a little bit stronger. I know Ambassador Haley did what she could to get stronger sanctions on oil imports to North Korea, as well as freezing some of the assets of Kim Jong-un. That said, I'm glad these are the toughest sanctions that have ever been in place. It does show the UN Security Council is working together in a unanimous way, understanding that North Korea needs to come to the table and find a diplomatic solution.
Many people are advocating having even more drastic sanctions against North Korea, putting pressure on North Korea by sanctioning major Chinese financial institutions that may be enabled to help enable Kim Jong-un's illicit activities. What is your thought on sanctioning major Chinese banks?
The Chinese banks, some of the Chinese banks continue to provide hard currency to North Korea, which allow them to pay their military, pay their generals, fund their missile program. Those banks need to understand it's not in their interest to continue to allow North Korea to act in a rogue way. They need to join with the rest of the world in getting the North Koreans to the table. So the sanctions that Congress passed in July gives the administration the ability to do secondary sanctions on Chinese banks that continue to do business with North Korea. The hope would be we don't have to use those sanctions, but we've sent a message to the Trump administration that if necessary, if that's what you have to do to dry up the North Koreans' resources to get them to come to the table, then we think the Trump administration should do those secondary sanctions.
During this visit to Asia, you also visited Taiwan. How was the visit to Taiwan? What was the purpose?
So one, again, to reassure the Taiwanese government that the friendship between the United States and Taiwan is as strong as ever, certainly from the congressional perspective. In addition, Taiwan is a democracy, it's a free market economy, et cetera, and it's important for members of Congress regularly to visit Taiwan to reassure them there. And then on the military-to-military side, that is a strong relationship as well. We had a chance to visit with members of the Taiwanese military, and again, just to reassure them that, we're standing with them. On the trading relationship, a lot of California agricultural products are exported to Taiwan as well, so they're a major trading partner with us. At the end of the day, the broader question, both as we visited South Korea and Taiwan, is a message to China as well. The 21st century could be prosperous for everyone, right? This doesn't have to be a competition between the United States and China. In fact, a cooperative relationship working between two world powers to create stability, to open up more global commerce, to collaborate and create peace in the world. That's the hope that, if China wants to be a world leader in the 21st century, and they very well could be that world leader, let's work together to resolve these conflicts.
You are the vice-ranking member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee. What is your hope for U.S.-China-Taiwan relations going forward?
The hope is to talk, right, to find common ground. The Chinese are now an economic power. Taiwan has a modern economy. The United States, obviously, is the world's leading economy. Let's work together. We have much more to gain by working together than to work competitively.
Lastly, what is your message to our VOA audience in China and worldwide audience?
The message to the VOA audience in China and across the world is we're still only in the beginning phases of the 21st century. The 20th century was a century full of conflict and two major world wars. The message to China and the viewers around the world is let's create a cooperative 21st century. As world powers, we have the ability to create a different 21st century where we're working together, where we're trading together, where we're addressing global issues like poverty, issues of global health. Let's do this in a collaborative way. But in order to do that, we can't always look at each other as adversaries. We have to look at each other as we may have differences, but let's sit together. Let's talk and let's address these issues.
Thank you so much, Congressman Barrett, for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.